This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, what's going on this beautiful Friday morning?
I'm good, Mark. Great to be with you. Looking forward to a big show. And, man, we threw up the lacrosse last night. Awesome. Holy smokes. Another sudden victory match in Charlottesville with Duke and Virginia. Just like it was a couple of years ago in the national semifinals, Nee Schroff and Quinn Kesnick on the call last night. And Joe Robertson's got a flair for the dramatic, doesn't he?
He owns Thursday.
Did it 2 weeks ago against Carolina, and there he goes. Last night, wins it for Duke. We got the afternoon started at Boston College. And, boy, BC was phenomenal as well on the ladies' side. So our doubleheader proved to be fruitful right here on ACC Network. So it was fun to see lacrosse take center stage yesterday for sure.
I'm going to say this, Mr. Durham. We've had fun kind of jumping on the Friday night duels where wrestling is kind of take center stage on this network on Fridays. And it's turned out to be great because, number one, the teams have been terrific. The entertainment value is through the roof great. Thursdays on this network in the spring, it's all about lacrosse. I mean, lacrosse on Thursday nights has become kind of like wrestling with the duels on Friday nights on ACC Network. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I am a novice with the sport. Didn't play it growing up. Knew about it. Didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it. But we keep telling you, when you look at the players and the coaches and the rankings and the quality of play, and if you've been watching lacrosse on ACC Network the last couple Thursdays, if you're not entertained, I got to be honest with you, we can't help you. We can't help you. If you don't find that sport and the quality of play and the drama, if that doesn't hook you, seriously, you really need to watch something else. Because as far as sports goes, this time of year, yeah, you got spring football if you're in the mood, right? Got Miami tomorrow morning here on ACC Network, which would be great. Mm-hmm. But Thursday nights have almost become appointment viewing to watch the quality of play, both men and women, in this league in lacrosse, because it is fast, it is furious, it's physical. The drama, it seems like every game for the most part, especially on the men's side on Thursday nights, literally comes down to the last possession, and it's normally a dramatic play in terms of a score for a goal and the W or an unbelievable stop. It has been tremendous television Thursday nights, and a tip of the hat to the men, the women, the coaches, the players in lacrosse in this league. It is tremendous. And that comes from somebody who is a novice that has gotten hooked. As soon as our radio show ended last night, I scarfed down dinner, put my feet up, turned it to ACC Network, and I put the remote down and never thought about grabbing it to change it because the game was so good. The match was so good. Had a little controversy, two great teams, the coaches. You had a chance to know some of these players if you watched our show because we've interviewed a number of the men and women. But the sport is growing like crazy, and they've really produced an amazing product. And every Thursday night on this network, you better be watching because I'm telling you, you're going to be entertained.
Yeah, it was. There was no question about it. Yesterday afternoon, we got started with Boston College. We had Charlotte North on this program on Monday coming off a 10-goal effort against Virginia Tech. Charlotte was, hey, look, we're here to win. And, boy, did they yesterday. Bell Smith, a freshman, led the way with 6 points, 4 goals, 2 assists. Rachel Hall had 11 saves, and BC wins 19-11 yesterday at Alumni Stadium. We also had a stick drop here, Pack, in this.
Yeah, what a drop.
That's right up our – huh? No,
it was not a drop.
It was not a
violent heave to planet Earth is what it was.
Yeah.
It's what we're talking about.
Andy Aldavay. This is Andy Aldavay of Notre Dame. Bam. Come on. That's what we're talking about.
Snap it. Snap it right in half.
Yeah.
By the way, though, BC.
Andy, you're our people. You're our people, Andy.
Well, violent heave to the planet Earth. You know, BC jumped him 6-0 right out of the gate. And that was rearview mirror. Again, this was taking place during the radio show, so I did not see any of this live, just highlights. But BC jumped them. And, you know, Charlotte North, you mentioned, had 10 goals last weekend. I think she only scored four in this one. Only four. That's how good she's been. But BC, I mean, that was supposed to be top five matchup. Close, like all of them. It really wasn't. And BC put them in the dirt. And a great win. So, wasn't like last night with the men, though. The men's game, holy mackerel. Virginia Duke, I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was flat out awesome.
And ends up being a remarkable game. We told you that 2 weeks ago we had a sudden victory game here on ACC Network with Duke and Carolina. Last night it was delivered again. The Blue Devils prevail in overtime on a goal from Joe Robertson. Now, if I've got this right, Joe is from Charlottesville and went to St. Ann's Belfield. So he goes home and scores the game winner for Duke again, last night.
Again. And listen, that 1-2 Duke-Carolina thing, we had the sudden victory. Joe is the one that put the dagger in North Carolina, did it again the last night to Virginia. But, you know, we just had Dox Aitken on the show. Dox Aitken had a goal last night. Dox Aitken had a goal last night that was so unbelievable that when they showed it in replay, you still could barely find the ball. I mean, it was a laser beam. And, you know, listen, we've had Adler on, who's the goalie for Duke, and he's the guy that got bitten by a shark and said, hey, Cole, put some sand on it, want to go back out there. Again, we've had a chance to meet some of these players on our show, coaches too, and again, you get a connection now watching these games, but holy mackerel, there were some athletic plays last night. I mean, it was just nonstop, physical, fast, up and down, and you had no earthly idea how it was going to end. It was just a great, great match.
Yeah. How about Adler saving that bullet right there?
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Guys are nuts. Yeah. Those goalies are nuts. I mean, seriously, they are.
All right,
let me ask you something, Wes. Would you rather be a goalie in lacrosse? All right. Would you rather be a goalie in lacrosse? Would you rather be a baseball catcher or a javelin fetcher? Of those three, which one would you pick?
Well,
seriously,
lacrosse goalie probably. Now, baseball catcher, you can still get the bat in the head, and you can get the foul balls, and cat throws it in the dirt. How about javelin fetcher?
If you're out there
after they hit the ground,
no, you got to be out there and catch it. Javelin catcher.
Nope. No.
I tell you what, too. I Fuller is the ball dog of our two. Right here's Chester. He's sound asleep in the green room chair right here on the light. I mean, he's out like a light. Brother Fuller. Yeah. Is a ball dog, right? If you got a tennis ball, he will play with you for 5 hours. He'll retrieve it, drop it right in your hand. All right, here's Big Fuller down here. Here's Fuller down here by the NC State singlet and the Bojangles biscuit pillow. We found a lacrosse ball in the woods the other day, and again, I didn't grow up with lacrosse. I mean, I know what a stick is, ball, but that ball now, let me tell you, that's not a tennis ball. That's not a wiffle ball.
No.
That is a hard ball. And those dudes sling it, man. I mean, you've got to be out of your mind to be a goalie in lacrosse. I don't care what they say you can wear or not wear. You've got to have a different mindset to be a goalie. I'm just telling you. Man, they hum it.
Can we go back and show this real quick? Because I want to give this its due. Did you see Connor Schellenberger, who's an outstanding player for Virginia? Cavaliers didn't win, but Connor Schellenberg went blacktop on Duke. Whoa, hey now, ankle breaker. Way now, hope.
How are you going to stop that? Seriously. You know, how are you going to stop it, and why would you want to stop it? I mean, you're at point blank range, and that guy is just going to throw it in there about 100 miles an hour. Hey, I'd be like, hey, tip of the hat. That's a good goal, man. It's our turn. We're going this way now.
Yeah.
Yo, you guys go run down there the other 45 yards. I don't need to see that nonsense anymore. The Dox Aitken put some moves on last night. They're unbelievable. What a match. So much fun to watch those guys.
Yeah, great win for John Donowski and the Blue Devils. And don't forget more ACC lacrosse coming up this weekend. In fact, the great coach of the Syracuse Orange, John Desko, will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour on this program today. We got big soccer this weekend as well, and Alexander Dexter of Pittsburgh, who is not only the an outstanding player in this league, he's the National Player of the Week for the Pitt Panthers of Coach Vidovich. And he'll be with us.
And that's number one today. Versus number four tomorrow to get the automatic bid for the NCAAs. And that's number one Pitt, number four Clemson. And we're sitting here bragging about lacrosse. You already know soccer in this league. Forget it. Those two teams, that'll be out of sight too. I mean, great television. Awesome. For all you soccer lovers out there, man. Get it all over you.
All right, let's get to some basketball news here in this opening segment. I mean, we weren't off the air 5 minutes yesterday.
10:05.
I mean, not even 5 minutes.
10:05.
Got us again.
Yeah. Don't let us know about
Chapel Hill.
Yeah, don't let us know about it live. We'll just wait till 10:05. The curse is alive and well.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to announce that on the network.
Oh, my God.
Not live. No, we'll do it the next day.
Hubert Davis announced his coaching staff at North Carolina. Of course, Davis hired about a week ago and took about a week to get it sorted out. It had been rumored heavily that Sean May would become an assistant coach, moving from the operations position. That did occur. Brad Frederick is the only Roy Williams assistant that was retained. Steve Robinson, there was no update, I don't think, given on Steve Robinson's status, who had been with the staff. So Brad Frederick stays, Sean May stays, moving over a chair, and Jeff Lebo, former Carolina player, longtime head coach at East Carolina, East Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech, and a variety of spots, has come back into coaching and will be an assistant with Hubert Davis as well. The ancillary structure of that operation, Jackie Manuel, who had been with the women's team, comes over to the men's team as director of player performance, another former Tar Heel player, and longtime Carolina basketball staffer Eric Hoots remains in his position as the assistant to the athletic director for men's basketball. So there's the structure of Hubert Davis, and yes, all Carolina guys, every one of them. So kind of goes symmetrical to what he said in his press conference, Pack.
I mean, it's all fine and good. I'll say the same thing I said the day they hired him. Awesome, tremendous, get to work, go get players. I mean, winning the press conference, losing the press conference, that none of that matters to me. It really doesn't. You got to go win. And when you're at North Carolina, the object is to win, win, win. So go do it. So whoever you surround yourself with, tremendous, great. If they're all from UNLV, wouldn't have mattered to me one iota. For the Carolina brand, get it. But you better go win with your Hubert Davis. That's just the way it works. But I want to go back to something more important. This 10:05 thing has been going on now for, I don't know, 3 years we've been doing this stuff. And at first I thought it was cute.
Since 18, so yeah.
I mean, 3 years we've been doing this. You know, it started with, you know, Sirius XM 371. It was ACC this morning, and then we didn't like the name and change it to the Central, and nobody approved it. We just called it that. And now it has rolled into Packer and Durham on television and on 371. But this 10:05 thing's been going on for a long time with us. And at first, I thought it was personal, right? And, like, you know, they got it out for us. They just, everybody's holding information until 10:05 when we're off the air. Now I'm not so sure. Now I'm just thinking that people are just showing up to work late, Wes. I've now chalked it up to, you know, we got information. Everybody got their donuts. They went to Bojangles. They got their biscuits in the morning and went to Food Line, got whatever their favorite wraps may be. And they tie in all our sponsors with that, and I hope so. And I think they have their cup of coffee or whatever the case may be, got their New York Life insurance policy or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And
sure. Get them all in there.
Maybe they ordered some nuts online, some sunglasses, razors, I don't know. And I think they just sit around and go.
I've ordered thenuts.com. It's excellent, by the way.
Yeah, again, we're trying to cover everybody here. So I think they all just sit around the room and go, all right, hey, what time is it? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. I tell you, put that release out. I think that's what happens now. So I think, like, I think it's true everywhere in the ACC. Everybody just kind of hangs for a while, gets caught up to speed. How the kids doing? Cool. What do you got planned for the weekend? Oh, by the way, let's put that release out. What time is it? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Go ahead and put it out. Everybody's up now. It's amazing how often at 10:05 in this league at every single school there is some type of breaking news. Schedule, staff change, transfer portal, coach hired, dog is loose, whatever it is. I mean, I'm telling you, when our show ends at 10, I swear to you, the first thing I do is I go online at 10:05 and wait for a breaking news story from the ACC and start laughing, going, well, you know, we could have announced it for you at 9:30. I mean, it is our network, our meaning ACC, but it's unbelievable how often the 10:05 kicks in. It is uncanny. And it's not just the schools. It's the big man, Jim Phillips and staff, John Swofford and staff. At 10:05, here it comes.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham, are they off the air? Okay, good. Go ahead and release it. Crazy how often that happens.
Carolina had a partner yesterday in their news, too. Well, not a partner in topic, but 8 miles down the road, Duke also announced Nolan Smith was going to be an assistant coach for Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah,
well, it wasn't quite 10:05, but it was close. Yeah. In the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was in the neighborhood. Duke called Carolina and said, hey, you guys going to do a release yet? Okay, you guys go first. We'll follow up right out. Packer and Durham, they're done. So yeah. Let's go ahead and put these guys out. But good for Nolan. He's a good dude.
And you're a very good guy. Excellent. And outstanding and a bright future as a coach. And congratulations to Nolan Smith on moving up to an assistant coach spot on Duke's Duke's bench. All right. So that was not quite 10:05. Carolina was almost 10:05.
It was 10:05. Unlike the 10:03, the 10:03 of the, hey, by the way, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Friday, September 3rd.
Friday Blacksburg. Night. That's my favorite this week.
That was 10:03.
I got to tell you, that's my favorite this week.
Oh,
that was 10:03. Yeah. Yeah, we confirmed Carolina Virginia Tech to play on Friday night, September 3rd at 10:03 this week.
Where is my guy, Justin Fuente? Right? And I've got the handwritten note. It's popped. It's right up here. He wrote me a handwritten note. It's on my handwritten note page up here to be on the show. And I know we got no spring game in Blacksburg this year. I get it. But, you know, Justin could have come on here and at 9:30 and pack. We're going to play North Carolina Friday, Blacksburg. They're coming to our house. We could have Justin Fuente before 10 a.m., but no, we didn't get it. Mm-hmm. We didn't get it. So there you go. That's all I got for you.
All right.
Great lacrosse.
That's all you got.
And I promise you, at 10:05 this morning, somebody in the ACC will have a news release. You go, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that on Packer and Durham this morning. Because we didn't know about it. I'm done.
So there you go.
Good.
When we come back, Friday show is underway. And we've got a great show for you. Paul Biancardi will be here bottom of the hour. Packer is going to tell Paul everybody's in the transfer portal.
Everybody's gone.
Yeah, they're all in the transfer portal. We're looking forward to visiting with Paul Biancardi. We'll kind of get our arms around the portal and around ACC. And Pack's got some concerns here. I mean, there's some things you got some things you want to talk with Coach Biancardi about, don't you?
Of course. I mean, I am concerned. Right. I'm concerned for college basketball. Yeah. I am. That's not just an ACC thing. I'm worried about college basketball. I really am. We're going down a crazy path.
All right. At 8 o'clock, Wesley Haynes will be here. He is the president of the Brander Group. They're the company that has aligned themselves with North Carolina PAC to talk about name, image, and likeness of former student athletes. Felt like it was important we talk to someone with one of these groups to kind of talk about that alignment and what it means and maybe what kind of goes down the road with this and name, image, and likeness.
Well,
so looking forward to having Mr. Forbes join us.
Well, here's the deal with Wesley Haynes. He's got a chance to impress us, Wes, the way I look at it. Because at some point in time, the name, image, and likeness comes into play here for Packer and Durham.
Right.
So, you know, we're interested in how they're going to handle the schools. But really, there's a part of us is like, all right, which group are we going to sign up with? Because I figure we should get involved with name, image, and likeness, don't you? Huh? Big man?
No, I look.
You don't want any piece of that? I'll do it for me then.
I'll just leave you out. Yeah,
you're worried about golf.
You are my
man.
Name, image, and likeness guy.
No, I'm not.
You're my name, image, and likeness guy, man.
Listen, yeah. When you got one of these right here, these bobbleheads, that's when you know you've reached something. That's not many of them. 20 years old. When I hit the top of my old head with hair on it, dust comes flying out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a $100 bobblehead, too, if you go to the right secondary market.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Paul Biancardi's coming up here momentarily, but we got all kinds of stuff going on, Wes, including volleyball. Yeah. We had Katie George, the coveted invite, who's covering this event. ACC got four teams into the big dance. We got two still left. And Pitt did a since dirt, right? Kayla Lund and company pulled a since dirt yesterday. Sweet 16, first time ever for the Pitt volleyball program. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we start with the conference champion, and that's Louisville, Danny Busman, Kelly's team. Rough start, but they come back to beat San Diego yesterday, 3-1 out in Omaha. They punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. They'll meet number 6, Washington, on Sunday. Louisville has now won 11 in a row. So congratulations to the Cards, who did a phenomenal job after a bumpy ride to begin. You mentioned Pittsburgh, Dan Fisher's team last night. They beat Utah 3-0. Great win for Pitt. Chinaza Indy, 10, produced 17 kills. And Pitt hit 41.2%. Kayla Lund, by the way, the 2-time ACC Player of the Year, 15 kills on 30 attempts. She also had 16 digs for her 8th double-double of the year. And as you said, first-time Pitt's advanced to the Sweet 16. Unfortunately, both Notre Dame and Georgia Tech were eliminated yesterday. Jackets battled against Minnesota but could never quite get it turned. They lost like 25-18, 25-21, 25-19 in the rally scoring. So, nice year for Michelle Kaye and the Georgia Tech program, but they lose 3-0 to Minnesota, and Notre Dame fell as well yesterday in the NCAA Volleyball Championships out in Omaha. So,
but no surprise that Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, they lost to basically seeded and or ranked teams in Oregon and Minnesota, respectively. So would have been an upset for a W. We were kind of hoping for maybe some good news there, but good news is Louisville, Pitt, continue to do their thing and got a chance. We'll see what happens.
Women's Golf Championship is underway at Sedgefield, and we expected this to be a shootout between Wake Forest and Duke, and those two schools are delivering. Wake Forest holds a 2-shot lead after day one of the ACC Women's Golf Championship at Venerable Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro. Duke, which led by 2 shots after the first round, 7-under in the second round. They are 2 back. Gina Kim has a 1-shot lead over Beatrice Wallen in the individual battle. Gina is 7-under, and Beatrice is 6-under. Our friend Rachel Keene is 4 back the lead at the ACC Women's Golf Championship in Greensboro.
So what happens, though, you get today's round, and then we get to the top four. We go match play. So, hey, you want to be 1, 2, 3, or 4, Wake, Duke, Duke, Wake, whatever combo you want. Florida State's really good. Virginia Tech's in a good spot trying to hold serve there. So keep an eye on Greensboro. Weather should be outstanding. Perfect day to play today. And hopefully a good weekend, too. Yep. Should be outstanding.
Yep. WNBA draft last night. We talked about it yesterday on this program with Monica McNutt. North Carolina guard Stephanie Watts was the first ACC player selected, 10th overall by the LA Sparks. 16th straight year the ACC has had a first-round pick. Dana Evans was 13th overall, the first pick of the second round. She went to the Dallas Wings. And Ivana Raza, the Sparks must have spent a ton of scout money in the ACC, because Ivana Raza of Wake Forest was taken 28th overall to the Sparks. But our congratulations to Stephanie Watts and to Dana Evans and Ivana Rotson being draft picks last night at the WNBA.
I think Tiana signed with Phoenix, so we wish her the very best.
That's correct.
Again, to all the ladies. It was great joy to watch them play, and now they move on to the next level, their next career. And again, you root for them, man. Simple as that.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, let's talk about the infamous transfer portal, Wes. We can't get away from it. It's like sticks to the bottom of your shoe every single day. Here's a new cast of dozens upon dozens of apparently unhappy student-athletes looking for a place to land. Paul Biancardi joins us to explain it all to us. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Wes.
Head on a swivel. I mean, what are we doing here with this transfer portal? I mean, how do you explain we're going to figure? Yeah, fake left, go right. Who's up? Who's down? What are we doing?
Well, the portal got put into place because if you remember years ago, students had a hard time transferring out. Players did. They had to go to their coach. The school would not release them. So the portal was put in place for student athletes to transfer a little bit easier. Click of a button, and now it's a little bit of chaos because they put in the rule that goes with it. When you transfer, you can compete right away. It's a one-time transfer rule and compete right away, and that's getting kids to just leave their situation, look elsewhere, and it's causing chaos because you still have players that have their eligibility from last year, seniors that can come back. So you get seniors coming back. You got guys that can transfer and play right away. There's a logjam on the highway right now.
All right. And we were talking here during the break. Travis Banham tweeted yesterday there were 1,369 names in the portal. You told me as of last night it might have been 1,400. Not all those are scholarship players, but nonetheless, that's 27 to 29% of all Division I basketball players. I mean, that is a thick number right now. All these guys can't possibly find homes, though, can they?
No, and that's going to be a problem. I'm concerned for the player who thinks that there's going to be a better opportunity somewhere else. There's going to be players in this portal that don't have a place to go come September. And a lot of these guys think they're going to get better situations. They may get situations that are worse. There's going to be a lot of adversity here going on, and players think they're going to have great opportunities. And they might not end up at the destination they want to. They may have to go a level down. They may have to go to a conference they didn't want to go to. They may have to travel across the country to places they never thought they were going to get because they don't understand that not everybody is going to want them just because they're transferring.
Paul, and also the trickle-down effect on the high school player. I think it's gotten lost a little bit while fans of school X, Y, and Z go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe – you know, Joe Smith is transferring or leaving or into the portal. Hey, you know, you got to have a roster. That's why I kind of kid around the other week, said, hey, I'm assuming everybody's gone. We'll figure out what a roster looks like in October. But what about what happens to the junior and senior in high school that sat there and said, hey, listen, my five choices were schools A, B, C, D, E. And now that school says, hey, listen, we've been able to get a transfer from school X. It's a junior that averaged 15 points and, you know, kind of fills that void that we needed. He's more important maybe necessarily than taking a risk on a high school player that we hope could develop 2-3 years down the road to be that guy that we can get overnight. How's that going to affect the high schoolers?
The high schoolers are the big losers in this, big time losers, because they're going to get the short end of the stick. You're exactly right. College coaches want to take a transfer because it's a proven commodity. It's a player they've already seen in the college level. And it's somebody who's not going to transfer because he's made his one-time transfer already. There's a good chance he's not going to leave. The coach's philosophy right now is, why do I want to invest all my time and money into a high school player, develop him, get him to be good, maybe one of the best players in the conference? Then he's going to leave me, and he's going to go in the portal. So high school players right now are really deficient in terms of getting scholarship offers. This class of 2021, guys, this has been the most under-evaluated and underappreciated class, you know, in the history of in my lifetime, because they haven't been seen. You think about it, since March,
yeah,
coaches have not seen these players play alive. Now they're going to get to do so starting June 1st, but these guys have not been evaluated, and they've been only recruited over Zoom. So I'm afraid there's going to be more transfers based on decisions guys made on Zoom this year.
Paul, a couple of interesting collisions here, and that's why you're perfect to visit with us here with your time. Number one, the impact of the transfer either out or in the ACC, and also what we're going to get from a recruiting perspective coming into this league. Mark and I talked about, you know, the NCAA tournament. Yeah, we got a couple teams here and there, but overall, this league is trying to get back to where it was a couple of 4 years ago. From a material standpoint, and we're talking about it like it is commodities, what does the ACC have to lean on that you've seen so far from a transfer portal and in recruiting right now?
Well, in recruiting, I can speak to, they have 14 top 100 players coming in next year, and that's pretty good out of 100 prospects on the board. Now, the SEC, they lead. They have 19 top 100 players coming in next year. And the number one prospect, the best player coming into the ACC, yes, he's going to Duke, Paolo Bancaro, best NBA prospect in the ACC as well. He's 6'10", he's highly skilled. But they have an abundance of talent coming in. But when you look at the transfer market and the high school market, coaches are going to try to make that perfect blend, you know, between young and old.
And I know it's a daily, it's really a minute by minute thing when it comes to the transfer portal. As far as the ACC goes in the transfer department, and I'm not talking about what's going out. We know what's going out. What's coming in? What's coming into the league, Paul, as we sit here on April the 16th, that you say, you know what?
Yeah.
That's a quality player.
Well, Virginia just got a really good player from East Carolina, the kid Jaden Gardner. I think he's really good. He could have went to a lot of places out of high school. I mean, NC State got Casey Morsell, so that was within conference. And that's another thing, guys. You can transfer now within the conference, no penalty. I think that creates a little bit of a difficult time among coaches because you both recruited the same guy out of high school. He went to Virginia out of high school. Now he transfers mid-career to NC State. That could hurt the handshake line after games next year.
And Morsell's not the only Cavalier who stayed in the league. Justin McCoy, I think, is going to North Carolina. That's going to make for, you're right, the handshake line after the game could be a very interesting dynamic. So could the spring coaches meetings. Paul, if you had to crystal ball this, go ahead.
No, I think you got to hire a roster management coach, guys. That's one of the solutions. If you're a coach right now, Power 5 Conference, create a position, roster management coach, find somebody who's experienced in college coaching that has the trust of the coaches, and all he does is communicate with the players' families, their coaches, their trainers, their AAU coach, anybody in their circle. They're doing that 7 days a week, all season long, so head coaches and coaching staffs can – you know, coach their team and recruit future talent. I think roster management coach is a position that's going to be needed right now because the way you recruit is going to fundamentally change going forward. You cannot project 2 and 3 years down the line when we lose so-and-so, we're going to replace him. At the end of the season, you got to think about replacing maybe 4 or 5 guys. So you better be ready for it. So I think that's a new position for Power 5 conferences.
Going to say, wow. putting together a team and a roster now, Paul, is unlike any time ever in college athletics, is it? I mean, I know Roy Williams just retired, and I'd love to be, 5 minutes with Roy and just say, listen, truth serum, this isn't for air or display, but that had to be a factor, right? I mean, just anybody trying to put together a roster versus how you used to do it 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago, 15 years ago. Totally different, though, right? I mean, it's a totally different universe right now for all these coaches.
I'll take three minutes with Coach Williams. That had to affect him. That meeting he had with the Kesslers had to really set him back. It had to make him think twice. He may never say the portal made him get out, but usually when it comes to coaches retiring, it's usually the things away from the court that makes a coach retire. And I think the portal has really worn on a lot of coaches who have been in the game for a long time. And Kessler was going to be a star next year at North Carolina. And he went in and, and his family went in, and whether it was playing time, style of play, or how he was utilized, I think that really took back Coach Williams. And I think it's going to take back a lot of coaches as we move forward. But absolutely right. This is going to fundamentally change how coaches recruit. It's going to be a yearly basis. It's almost like junior college recruiting or prep school recruiting, where your roster is going to have maybe 30, 40% changeover every year.
Hey, Paul, real quick, I know we're talking about the transfer portal a lot. You mentioned under-evaluated incoming high school kids, and the Banquero kid from the Seattle area is an outstanding talent. What schools? I'm guessing Duke, Florida State, Carolina. Who else? Virginia. What are the recruiting classes like? What do you expect of schools that will have freshman impact next year?
Yeah, well, schools like Duke and Carolina, I still think they're going to recruit the high five-star, high four-star type player. And Duke and Carolina have really good classes coming in next year. Florida State does as well. They have a young man by the name of Matt Cleveland. He's 6'6 out of Pace High School in Georgia. They won a state championship. Long athlete. They also have John Butler. He's a 6'10 kid. So I think Duke, Florida State, North Carolina brings in two studs. They're in-state kids, DeMarco Dunn, Dontrez Styles, 6'4 guard, 6'6 wing. And Virginia also is recruiting well. So those schools right now are doing well. NC State brings in one of the best shooters in the country, Tarquavian Smith, in-state kid. ACC is always going to get their level of talent. I think the bottom of the ACC has to do a better job recruiting.
Paul, let me ask you a crazy question. You hear coaches in the last couple years say, hey, we need to figure out a way to get old and stay old. While we sit here and talk about the transfer portal as far as, oh, it's got such a negative connotation, I think, for fans because, hey, that's my school. Those are my guys. What do you mean they're leaving? I mean, it's almost becomes personal to the fan. Does the transfer portal at least allow coaches the ability to get old and stay old if they do it right? Does that make any sense?
Makes a lot of sense. And that's the key is doing it right means evaluating right. Look, everybody knows who the talent is out there. What these coaches have to do is find out more about the character, more about the traits. The work ethic, you know, what kind of teammate is he? How coachable is he? Because if he's leaving one school, there's got to be some reason why, beside playing time, maybe in style of play. And that's another thing, guys. You know, coaches used to call each other and pick up the phone and say, hey, I see your guy's leaving. You know, he's transferring. Can you tell me a little bit about him? What was he like to coach? I don't think those phone calls exist anymore. Guys just put their name in the portal and everybody starts recruiting them. So if you just take somebody else's problem, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Great stuff from Paul Biancardi. Always great to see you. Stay well. I know you're busy. We look forward to catching up again down the road.
I really enjoyed this, guys. Thank you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network. In case you missed it yesterday. Head football coach of Louisville. We gave him a great idea for next year's spring game. Tie the whole thing together, but that's next year. Right now, though, we ask Coach, man, what a difference a year makes.
Yeah, it really is. You know, last year this time, we're all sitting at home trying to figure things out, you know, doing a bunch of Zoom calls and wondering when we're coming back in here. And quite honestly, wondering if what's going to happen to all of us. You know, are we going to have sports, or is anybody going to have a job anymore? So, we've come a long way, and I think we made it through the storm there. And hopefully, we're getting ready to see the other side of this thing, you know, with the vaccine rollout, and you know, just a lot of positive signs. I hope, and you know, we've still got our fingers crossed.
All right, so take us through kind of how the spring's been different, if it has. Is it more back to normal, or is there still some hesitancy to, you know, to go through like full speed opportunities, things like that? Because we've had a few spring games here, and I know you're not going to do one, but the practice sessions and things like that, has it been about as normal as you could hope?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the term normal is a little bit different now, I think. You know, what we went through last fall, you know, we were kind of the same way this spring. You know, we still were doing testing, and we still are testing now. throughout the week, you know, as far as that goes. And but spring practice was good for us. You know, we went about 3 days a week and spread it out, and you know, really didn't miss a beat. And really for us, as doing all this testing, we really I can't hardly remember anybody that was positive throughout the spring practice. I mean, you know, we really didn't miss a beat, didn't miss any players. You know, went through that and stayed healthy through spring. And I think anytime you go through spring and you're healthy, you get a lot of things done, then that's a positive. And, you know, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been training hard. We've been in the weight room. The guys, you know, agilities and fundamental work outside on the field. But so it's been a very productive spring. But for us, it was pretty normal for us. And it feels normal. And it feels like it did before the pandemic happened.
I would like to suggest, just a suggestion, that April the 30th would be a great date. That's the last Saturday in April. And we would be willing, and I'm going to speak for my partner on this one, we would be willing to join you to be a part of it in some shape, way, or form. Coaches, trainers, drive the bus over, tape the guys up, whatever you need me to do, or Wes. But we also hang around for another week and just roll it right into the Kentucky Derby and do our shows every day of the week from Louisville. So we go spring football. We could be coaches like what, you know, Florida State did, bringing in some Gator guys and, you know, Andrea. Yeah. We could do that on the 30th of April. We hang tight, just chill out in Louisville for the week and roll right into the Derby. That's just a suggestion. From Packer and Durham to Louisville.
Well, I think I'm all in favor of that. We can do that April 30th. We can, you guys can call the game because we'll put it on the ACC network. We'll call the game. You guys call it. We'll also get you down through in some point in the game, put you on opposite sides. One of you can call offense, one can call defense for a period of the game. Right. You stay the next week. Yep. You do your show from Louisville all week leading up to the Derby. I think all for that. Let's get that done.
I like, again, I'm just suggesting. Okay. I'm not causing any issues.
Yeah, I've thought about it, too, for the last couple of years. I know you've mentioned it a bunch. You like that brown water that we have here. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a great week, you know, for you in particular and for Louisville. I think it's a win-win all the way around.
That's exactly you're thinking right, Coach. You're connecting the dots perfectly there. I like the way you're thinking.
This league is going to reload at quarterback in a way that I don't think many think nationally it is, because everybody sees Trevor Lawrence and he'll be the number one pick in the draft, and we all understand that. But the power at that position in this league, and I know you do a lot of offseason work and you look at other teams and other schools that you're going to play. But can you think of a stronger set in one league than the quarterback play we're getting ready to see in this league?
You know, it would be a great conversation. Now, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in this league and guys that can do a lot of different things. You know, guys that can throw the football, guys that can run, and guys that can do both. You know, and really, you just look at Clemson. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence, who's leaving, but the guy who's coming in is pretty daggone good. We saw what he did last year when he got his opportunity. You know, you think about Miami with King, you know, there's a ton of Pitts quarterback, Virginia, you know, obviously, you know, the guy, the gunslinger down in Chapel Hill. I mean, there's so many guys in this league that can get it done and have won a lot of games for their team. So it's going to make it for a very, very competitive ACC this year, I think, because of the way the quarterbacks are. And you know, depending on how they play, you know Cunningham had a solid year last year. We turned the ball over too many times. You know, if the guys who take care of the football, then obviously they're going to give their team the best chance to win. But Cunningham's a dynamic player. I mean, he can do it with his legs. He can do it with his arm. You know, I think he's continuing to grow and learn as the position evolves for him. And I'm excited about it. Excited about what he's going to bring to the table. And, you know, and he's probably, you know, getting that conversation, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth quarterback in the league. And that tells you, you know, how strong this league is.
All right. Take me through where your competitive depth is this spring. And was there an area that caught your eye in terms of battles that you thought, well, maybe we got a guy here, but we're not sure what's behind him? Where did you find that competitive depth this spring?
Well, you know, I'm really excited about up front offensive line play. You know, I thought when we got here, that to me, that was a weakness. Besides Kai Becton, I thought he obviously was a great player and got drafted number 11th pick overall. But I think we've really developed some great depth there at that position, you know, and what we're going to have up front is probably 8-9 guys that can play and play at a high level. So we're excited about that up front. We did lose some firepower offensively. You know, we think about Des Fitzpatrick, Tutu Atwell, Javian Hawkins. I mean, those three guys the last couple of years have put up some great numbers for us. But I do think we have some really good players coming back that maybe, you know, the guys out there hadn't heard of as much, but are going to be playmakers for us. You know, so we'll see. I think we'll be probably more by committee as you look at offensively. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, C.J. Avery, Monty Montgomery, our two inside linebackers, I think, are going to be great players for us. And I think our defense, which defensively we finished, I think, maybe fourth last year, and you count Notre Dame in that, in total defense, and I think we'll be better this year. So hopefully we'll be one of the best defenses in the ACC, which will give us a chance, you know, I think, to compete, you know, to be one of the better teams in the league.
Still no confirmation about April 30th, 2022, but we'll work on that. But looking forward to some spring football this weekend. Especially Miami tomorrow morning.
That'd be good for
you on the network.
I tell you what now, we're getting after it when it comes to spring football. Miami tomorrow and then a bucket full of games next week to wrap up spring football in the old ACC. I like where Louisville is, Pac. I mean, I know last year was tough with turnovers and things like that, but Malik Cunningham back and improving the offensive line is really, really important for Scott Satterfield's team.
We'll see. You know, it's. I still think it's a bit early to say, hey, all in on a team or all out on a team, right? I mean, it's April.
Right.
There's lots going to happen between now by the time everybody gets together and opens up fall camps in August. But I am a big Scott Satterfield fan. I think he's a really good coach. What he inherited was tough. Had a terrific first year. Mm-hmm. Last year wasn't what they were looking for. But there are pieces that are there, and now they got to figure out, hey, can we fill in the slots and move forward? But that first game against Ole Miss will be a fun one down in Atlanta. There's no question about that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.